I've titled our message this morning, Resolutions for the Home. Resolutions for the Home. As we come to the fifth Sundays, we try to take that time to have a family Sunday, and I'd like to have family messages as we come together. I know our children are in here as well, and so as we hear the Word of God, trust that it'll minister to each of us as we look at our homes. It's important to look at God's Word regularly in this area of our homes, that we would evaluate by God's Word how we can better equip our homes, how we can better live for the glory of Jesus Christ. We're told in Scripture that the home is the most important and basic institution that God has given. Every Christian who has a home, that home is made up of sinners. Sinners saved by grace, but yet made up of sinners. And yet there's also great hope because there's a Savior in the midst of a home that is Christ-centered. There's hope that this home can function properly according to the Word of God. There's great encouragement as we come to the Word and as we find the instructions and duties of fathers, of mothers, of children. And as we live according to those truths, we will find God's blessing of a happy home life. The day that we live in, how important it is for us each to take those roles seriously, to evaluate our position in those homes and make sure that we are following the Word of God. That doesn't mean that we'll be perfect, but it should be the desire of each of our hearts, from child to parent, that we would seek to please the Lord in our homes. Sometimes it can be discouraging as we look at the homes of this nation, of this day and age that we're living in. We find great attacks. It seems as every corner you turn, there's another attack on a home, and families are under pressure, and the struggles of the home are becoming greater, it seems, by the day. But yet there is great hope as we look to the Lord. And no matter what circumstance we're in this morning, there is hope found in God's Word. As we seek His face, we find how we can have a home that's glorifying to the Lord. Some of us may have consequences that are a result of decisions we've made in the past, but we can go to God's Word and find forgiveness and comfort and a fresh start once again. This past week, as I was looking through some of my files, I came across a pamphlet that was written a number of years ago, and it was just a small pamphlet entitled, What's Destroying the Family? I thought, that's an intriguing title. I want to take a few minutes and read that. And as I read it, they cited four things that are destroying the family. And this was probably written maybe in the 80s or 90s. It's not a newer publication by any means, but it cited four things. And as we look at those just briefly, consider these in your own life. Number one, what's destroying the family? Busyness. I thought, boy, is that true today? How busy we get doing different things, and how the things of this world seem to really take away our time. You look at a week's time, and every night there's something else going on, and these functions are pulling apart the family instead of building the family closer in a Christ-centered manner. Busyness. Boy, how important it is to evaluate our priorities, to see, are we spending that time with our husband and our wife and our children? Are we growing in the Lord together, or are we crowding it out with all kinds of things that we claim are important? Busyness is certainly destroying the family. The second thing, materialism. Materialism. And again, looking at this article that's 20 years old, I thought, that hasn't changed either. Boy, as we see today, how often the desire for the things of this world steal away the important priority of Christ and serving Him. And it seems as though materialism is taking out the desire to serve the Lord from our home. The third area cited, pleasure. Pleasure. Again, another one that, as you think about how much emphasis in our culture, in today's society, to make sure that pleasure happens not just once a year, but daily, and make sure there's a lot of things that are enjoyable and pleasurable. And there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with being refreshed. The Lord took time to refresh Himself. But when pleasure is the goal, it destroys the family. And I think he pointed that out very well. And the fourth item, we'll show you just the date a little bit on this article, but I think you'll understand it applying to much greater areas. And that fourth area was television. Television. As you think about that, I think we could expand it to internet, entertainment choices, movies. I couldn't even begin to list all of the modern day things that are bombarding the family. But certainly entertainment can destroy the family. We think about the technology that's available today and how it distracts families. I was just in a place, a restaurant the other day, and I noticed here was a young couple, and they were in high school on a date. And he's got his phone out the whole time, and he's on his phone. And I told Sonny, I said, I know the phones are important today, but what girl would want to spend time with a guy that's on his phone the whole time? But those things are destroying the family. When they're left unguarded, they will destroy our homes. We need to take the time to regularly evaluate the priorities in our homes. And maybe there are things we have to eliminate or put to a minimum amount of time so that they don't destroy our homes. If we want to have homes that are Christ-centered and Christ-honoring, we need to evaluate our priorities in the home. So we come to Psalm 101. We find David here is preparing to be a king. And this is a psalm that's written from his heart. As he begins his reign, he desires to lead his administration in an upright manner. And he spends the first four verses specifically speaking about his own home, his desire for his home. And then in the second part of the psalm, we see him developing his desire to incorporate that into his public ministry as well. And David begins, as we look at this psalm, resolving to live right, resolving to lead right. He desires a righteous life, a righteous kingdom. And this morning, as we look at the first couple of verses together, I want us to notice five resolutions that David makes. And as we look at these, young people, this is for you as well. As we look at these resolutions, each of us to evaluate, are those true in my life? Do I seek to implement those truths in my life as well? How do we know they're resolutions? Well, as you look through the psalm, you begin to see, I will, I shall, I will. And these phrases repeat themselves. And so we can see that this is the heart of David. The resolutions come out of his heart, his desire to do what God wants him to do. And so let's begin this morning here in verse 1. Let's notice the first resolution he makes. Verse 1 says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. David gives us his first resolution here in verse 1, that he would sing of the mercy and judgment of God. In fact, he repeats it at the end of the verse. He says, of that will I sing. It's his resolve to sing of who God is, of what he has done. We see David here being the singer. He's the one giving the song, and he gives us the subject of his song. He says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment. And then he gives us the object. He says, unto thee, O Lord. So his subject of singing was what God has done, his mercy and just judgment or justice. This is the theme of David's song. It's a song of praising the Lord for God's faithful love is the idea there of mercy. His covenant love to him. He says, I will sing of that. All that God has given to me. He says, I will sing of his judgment, the end of verse 1. He says, I will sing of his righteous decision making, that he's perfect in all of his ways. And so what do these things point to? They point to who God is. And David says, I will sing of who God is. I will praise him. It's important for us to look at our lives daily and praise the Lord and thank him for what he has done for us. You know, when we live that way daily, the day goes much better, doesn't it? When we first focus on who God is and what he has done in our lives. the responsibility begins with the husbands, with the fathers, that we would lead our homes, that we would point our wives and our children to the Lord. That begins in our hearts, that God would stir in our hearts daily a thankfulness for who He is and what He has done in our lives. David says twice here in verse 1, I will sing of what the Lord has done. He made it a spiritual priority. What's destroying the home? That list that we looked at, we didn't see any focus there of the Lord and an emphasis on Him. No, it's these things that are taking our attention away from the Lord. And David writes and he says, sing to the Lord. Praise Him for what He has done. It brings us to some questions about evaluation. Young people in our homes, are you thankful that God has given you mom and dad who love the Lord? Are you thankful, or do you grumble at the parents that God has given to you? Are you thankful for the privilege of being raised in a Christian home? Again, just this week as I was at the store, I was watching people. I like to do that, watch people as they go by. And I noticed a family go by that you could tell by their dress that they're in a particular cult. And this family had a baby, maybe just 2-3 months old. And I thought of that little one. And it grieved my heart to think, what is the possibility of that little one hearing the truth of the gospel? It's possible God can work in those situations, but the likelihood is very narrow. They're brought up in that false understanding, that false teaching, that false way. And what a privilege it is, young people, to be raised in a Christian home. If you have a mom and dad who love the Lord, thank them for that. Thank the Lord for the home that God has given to you. David said, I will sing of the mercy that God has shown to me. Let's look at a second and third resolution here in verse 2. David says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. We see at the beginning and the end of this verse two more I will phrases. And this is our second and third resolution that David makes. He says, I will behave myself in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David puts in the middle there a question that we'll look at together in a little bit, but the resolve is very closely tied in the beginning and the end of verse 2, and it's a resolve to walk with integrity, to walk a life of holiness, to walk a life of wisdom in our homes. Now, how does this play out? Well, this is just the opposite focus of what so often we do. When we come home, we find our haven and we begin to lash out at those in our home because of the struggles we've had during the day. Instead of coming home with an attitude of ministry to one another and thankfulness for this unit, this family that God has given to us, however that unit looks, being appreciative and kind and thankful for those in our home. And David said, I'm not going to allow that influence to corrupt or bring trouble to my home, but I'm going to focus on being a help to those within my own home. And he says, I want to behave myself wisely. I want to walk within my house in a perfect heart. David was seeking wisdom from the Lord to live a life of holiness, to live a life that was blameless. We see David not living perfect, as we know the outcome, but yet it was his desire. It was his heart's desire to live in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. He struggled. He revealed his sin nature. He revealed that he did fall. But David, as he began, was seeking the Lord and was desiring to walk in a way that was pleasing to him. Let's look at that phrase in the middle of verse 2. He says, O, when wilt thou come unto me? This is a reference to the Ark of the Covenant. You recall that the Ark represented God's presence with them. That David recognized not only did he need God's help and His power, but he really needed God's presence in his home. He needed the Lord to be the center of his home. And that's the same admonition for us today as well, that Christ would be in the midst of our home. Is He the center of our home? Do we desire His presence in our home? Are we living in such a way that we're showing that Christ is that center in our home? It brings us again to a time of evaluation. Mom and Dad, are we striving to influence our homes to be holy? Are we lenient? Do we allow too much of the world into our home? Are we striving to live a godly life? Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. We know that. We see that in Scripture. Our spouses, those that live in our home, see the flaws and the sin nature. But is our desire really to please Him, to have God's presence in our home? Young person, do you have a good attitude in the home? How's your attitude to mom and dad? Do you grumble and complain? Are you ungrateful? Do you always complain about what you have to do or where you have to go or the things that mom and dad give to you? Or are you thankful to the Lord and to your parents? Are you kind to those in your family? Do you show kindness to them? David said, I want to walk in a right way in my home. I want to show love to those in my home. Am I kind to those in my home? Sometimes we're so two-sided in our ways. We appear kind to other people, and then we're very ungracious, very unkind to those in our home. And David said, no, I will show that kindness. I will walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Let's look at the fourth resolution, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Here's David's fourth resolution, his fourth I will in this passage. David determines that he would not allow vile things to enter into his eye gate. It also carries the idea here in this phrase that he would not let worthless things be the focus of his attention. He didn't want to just desire or aim at or endure things that weren't very lasting. He wanted things that were worthwhile, those things which would count for eternity. Do we allow things into our eye gate that are not pleasing to the Lord? Notice again, he says, I will set no wicked thing. He didn't say, I'll set some or I'll allow a little bit. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Whatever little thing we allow into our eye gate is an admission or an entrance into our heart. What we put in will go into our heart and it will corrupt and it will affect and it will demonstrate itself in our outward actions. You see, the real question is not how much sin can I tolerate, it's how much do I dislike sin. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. As we look at our entertainment choices, are we allowing the television, the internet, magazines to pull us down spiritually? Do we allow things into our homes that if the Lord was sitting there, it would be shameful? We would be disgraced over that thought of Him seeing what we're looking at. Young person, are you trying to hide something from mom and dad? Oh, maybe they don't know the computer as well as you do, and you think you can hide something. Are you living a life of holiness? Are you allowing things into your life through your eye gate that are going to affect your heart? David said, this fourth resolution, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Notice the fifth resolution, verse 3 again. In the middle of the verse, he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Again, we see this, I will, I shall, a couple of times here in this section. But David's resolve is to hate the work of them that turn aside. To literally put off those people that are going to influence you to go away from the straight and narrow path. Those that are going to lead you to destruction. David said, I want no part of it. I don't want them to tear me down spiritually. I don't want them to take us off course. I need to guard against my heart, guard against my senses so that I'm not allowing things to influence my life to turn away from the Lord. Notice again verse 3. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Literally, it would not stick to him. That David said he didn't want the influence of an ungodly person to rub off onto him. Evaluate our friendships. Evaluate those that are coming into our home. Are they helping us spiritually? Or are they leading us away from the Lord? He wanted to cultivate a heart that was walking in the ways of the Lord. And he shows this further here in verse 4. He says, a froward heart shall depart from me. Literally, a perverse heart, a twisted heart, a heart that goes off course, a heart that does not conform to the will of God and to the word of God, a heart that's not obeying in the truth of God's word. And so David said, what I allow into my eye gate will affect my heart. And he said, therefore, I don't want a twisted or a heart that's walking away from the truth, so I must guard it. I must watch those who are going to influence me or try to take me away from the truth and walking in a right way. Sometimes we need to do drastic things. We may need to cut an association or a friendship with someone else because they're pulling us down spiritually. Last summer, I had the privilege to go to Panaya Bible Camp and preach, and one of the things I spoke on was friendships, and a number of young people said that really helped them just to look at their friendships, and some of them had to break off some friends that they really had for a long time and loved dearly. Sometimes that needs to happen on an adult level as well. Are there friends that are really pulling us down? They're not helping us to walk closer to the Lord. They're rubbing off on us. Their influence is destroying us. It's getting to our heart and it's taking our attention away from the Lord. And we're beginning to fall into a perverse or twisted heart. David said, no, I will protect the friendships that I have. Those that will influence my home, I will guard against. As David goes on here in verses 5 through 8, he talks about his desire to do justice in his public office. But all of it stemmed from his desire and his resolution to walk right in his own house. That he wanted a life that was privately right far before he got to his public ministry. He desired to have a life that was pleasing to the Lord. As we see in verses 5 through 8, David really has a no-tolerance policy, that he's not going to put up with those who are going to destroy the kingdom spiritually, those who are going to attack or pull them down and pull their focus away from the Lord. He didn't want that influence not only on his home, but on his kingdom as well. We know David's life was one where he did have weakness. We see Bathsheba. We see the fallout of his sons. We see the failures that we read of in 1 and 2 Samuel. And we recognize those failures and weaknesses in our own life. But if we don't begin with resolving to please the Lord, we'll never have spiritual victory. And David, as he began his ministry, as he began his kingship, desired to please the Lord. And as we evaluate our own homes, as we evaluate our own positions in that home, can it be said that we desire to do what's right, to please the Lord, to have a home that's pleasing to Him? I love Joshua's resolve at the end of his book. And we have this on a plaque in our home, in our dining room, and it's a good reminder for us, where Joshua says in Joshua 24:15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that our resolve, to serve Him? Do we desire to please Him? Are we evaluating our own life this morning and say something needs to change? Maybe it's the entertainment. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's the heart's focus is not right. It's not on the Lord. But if we don't resolve to please Him, we can't have the blessing of God. David recognized he needed God's hand upon him. And we too, if we are honest with ourselves, each of us in our homes, need the blessing of God in our home. But we must do what's right. We must walk in Him. We must abide in Him and walk in His ways. As we have our family Sundays from time to time, I might have a book that I think is very helpful to our families. And there was one book that came to mind as I was preparing for this. It's called The Dark Side of the Internet. And it doesn't deal just with the internet, but this was written by Dr. Hummel, Rand Hummel. And I had the chance to hear his lectures several years ago, and then we also heard him a couple of years ago at our men's conference. But as you look at this little booklet, he really reminds us of the cost of sin, the price tag of sin, the perversity of sin, and the influence. And he gives a lot of helpful things, I think, that help us in our homes to make sure that we guard our homes and protect our hearts of our homes. And so this book, if you want to look through it, I'll put it out here on the shelf. If you'd like one of those, I'd be glad to get that for you. But I think it might be a tool that would be helpful to our homes. But as we look at David's resolve this morning, as we look at our own life, what is it in our lives that the Lord is pricking our hearts about this morning? Are we trying to hide something, young people? Are we looking at things we shouldn't? Do we have influences in our life? Men, are we leading our homes? Are we seeking to please the Lord in how we lead? Are we pointing our family to Christ? Are we fulfilling these resolutions that David desired to set forth at the beginning of his ministry? Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that never changes. How we thank you for this powerful section of Scripture that reminds us, Lord, to look into our own hearts. And we pray in the quietness of this moment, Lord, that we would just do some inspection, that we would make sure that if you're working in our heart in a particular area, that we would respond to your truth. Lord, we know that there are so many things that are destroying the family today. But yet, Lord, there's great hope. The family is made of sinners. It's compiled of sinners. But, Lord, there is a Savior in the midst of the Christian home. There is a recipe for having a godly home. And, Lord, we desperately need for you to work in our lives, each of us, that we might have homes that are pleasing in your sight. How we pray that your work would continue. In Jesus' name, amen.